Continuing in our series called Abraham, A Life of Faith. And today the title is Test of Faith. Someone once said, a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. Isabel Kuhn, who was a missionary with the China Inland Mission, in her book, Green Leaf in Drought Time, wrote, God does not waste suffering. If he plows, it is because he purposes a crop. Plowing disturbs the ground. But if there's to be any growth, it's necessary. In fact, it's essential. We don't like being disturbed. We'd rather go on in our own little comfortable way. But God wants to test our faith and see if we will trust and obey. Not only in the easy times, but through difficulty and darkness. And this is how we grow. And our faith is strengthened. J.S. Packer, in his book, Knowing God, writes, we should not, therefore, be too taken back when unexpected, upsetting, and discouraging things happen to us. What do they mean? Why, simply that God, in his wisdom, means to make something of us, which we have not attained yet, and is dealing with us accordingly. He goes on, it's often the case, as all the saints know, that fellowship with the Father and the Son is most vivid and sweet, and Christian joy the greatest when the cross is heaviest. Life poses many problems, and Abraham had his share. And we're certain to have our share. Some people seem to think that when we become Christians, life will be easy. It'll be a bed of roses. Of course, they forget that roses have thorns. Jesus never promised his followers an easy life. In fact, he said, take up your cross and follow me. And we all have our crosses to bear. Don't be surprised when trials and difficulties come. But thank God and seek his face. And ask, what, Lord, are you seeking to teach me by this experience? In Genesis 21 and 22, we see something of the life of Abraham. First, the long-awaited Isaac arrives. Surely, faith rewarded. But amid the rejoicing comes strife within the family. The teenage Ishmael is being a pain because his new half-brother will outrank him in the family. Those of us that have brought up families know just what a pain teenagers can be. Sometimes it upset Sarah in her postnatal state, and she demanded that Hagar and Ishmael be sent away. Abraham was reluctant. Ishmael, after all, was his flesh and blood. And he was the result of Sarah's scheming anyway. God reassures him that all will be well. And so he sends them away. Sometimes we have to make hard decisions, perhaps even to maintain family unity, family harmony. Let's be sure we seek God's assurance that we're doing the right thing, not just what seems the easy way out to us. Sadly, this separation didn't in the end turn out too well. The sons of Isaac and the sons of Ishmael have been at constant war over the generations, even up to today. Only in Jesus can they find peace and reconciliation. It's in the long past history that we find the root causes of today's instability in the Middle East. The next thing that happens, there's trouble with the neighbors. Whoever thought of neighbors? They can be a pain as well, can't they? Life would be so much easier without them. Abraham and Abimelech had had trouble earlier when Abraham had pulled the Sarah is my sister stunt for the second time. In Genesis 12, he'd tried it on with Pharaoh in Egypt, and it only got him into trouble. And now here in chapter 20, he tries the same thing again with Abimelech. Stick to the truth. In the end, it always works out for the best. The latest problem to crop up with Abimelech is the age-old problem of water rights. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. Water rights, rights of way, whose fence is it, etc., etc. The problems are there. And if there's no ready solution, leave it in God's hands. How we deal with these problems is a witness to our neighbors. And as Christians, that's the way we should go and the way we should think. Finally, of course, comes the biggest test of all. Sacrifice of the first child was common in the surrounding tribes. They were rough old days. So Abraham would not have been too surprised when God demanded it. But it was normally done soon after birth. In Hebrews 11, it says that Abraham believed that God would resurrect Isaac. And in Genesis 22, verse 8, Abraham told his servants, "We will come back to you." We, not just "I will come back to you." This was surely the ultimate test of faith. Those of us that have lost a child know the searing pain of that loss. Can we trust God to see us through? Does he really know what he's doing? It's at times like this that some blame God and even fall away. But God does know what he's doing. Hang on. Trust him, even in the darkest times. And faith will see us through. I'm speaking from experience when I talk about this. It was like entering a dark tunnel when I lost my son. And there seemed to be no light at the far end. But when we were returning from my son's funeral, suddenly a rainbow lit up the sky. To us it was God's promise that he would see us through. And he did. Do we trust God and pray for solutions to family problems, whether they be lesser or greater? Abimelech saw that God was working in Abraham's life. Do our neighbors see God working in our lives? I perhaps shouldn't say it, but I'm going to. We have difficult neighbors where we live. We seem to do nothing right. And it's difficult sometimes to witness to them, to show them love when all they do is make life difficult. Bishop Taylor Smith used to say something like this: we should throw open the windows of our lives that others may see Jesus at work there. But he added, the trouble with most of us is that we keep the windows shut and the curtains so tight drawn that even a chink of light can't escape. Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac when God called, even though he could see no reason for it. God had promised that Isaac's descendants would become a great nation. So how could this sacrifice possibly be in the plan? God was willing to sacrifice Jesus, his only son. To many, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And again in verse 25, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Do we believe that? Herein lies faith. Trusting God, even when his way seems foolishness to everyone else. Jesus died on the cross, shedding his blood for us, a sacrifice for the sins of all who believe. C.T. Studd, a great saint of last century, said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. He gave his life for me. And C.T. Studd gave his life in service to his Lord on the mission field. He spent most of it in Africa. Some folks say there's nothing they wouldn't do for the Lord. But nothing is too good for the Lord. There's nothing in their lives he cannot have. And sadly, you know, nothing is about what the Lord gets. Words are easy, but true sacrifice is hard. Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac. God was willing to sacrifice his only son. What are we willing to sacrifice? The Bible tells us that obedience is more important than sacrifice. Jesus has done all that's necessary on the cross. Sometimes it's hard to believe. It can be tough to follow and serve someone who, in a sense, is invisible. Faith then seems like little more than madness. Worship can feel like an irrelevance, a trip to Neverland, prayer, a vain shout into nothingness. And the pressures of life can loom very large, leaving our sense of God diminished and small. At such times, let us remind ourselves, Jesus is the only God, the ruler of creation. In Revelation 3:14, where he's writing to the church in Laodicea, the writer says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. There are times when making good choices as Christians seems uphill work. And we're tempted to envy those who seemingly don't seem troubled by their immoral lifestyle. In a rapidly rotting culture, when promiscuity, binge drinking, and materialism seem almost normal. Living by a different set of values can feel bewildering. The disciple of Jesus can feel defeated by a lingering sense that we're odd, even a bit weird, out of kilter with everyone else. But those who choose to walk with God are not crazy. They're living as the creator of it all designed. Life without God is really no life at all. Holiness and goodness are at the heart of it all. When we make daily choices that are in line with His will, we live as life was always meant to be lived. Next time someone sneers and suggests that you've kissed your brains goodbye when you offered your heart to God, quietly remember that you're living according to God's plan. Keep awake so that when testing times come, we're ready to stand firm and grow into the people God wants us to be. In Revelation 22 and verse 12, Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming soon." And there's a great promise to end on this morning. And again in verse 14, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much.